Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Hello, I'm Tristan Riddell.
And I'm the girl.
And this is Nerd Nuptial episode 89. And this is a show where we look at nerd life through a married lens. Now, we've been waiting for this for a long time.
Yeah. We're doing a review of Black Panther.
Black Panther is finally out after a 9-month advertising campaign by Marvel and Disney, which is that is very luxurious.
Yeah, we were ready.
I think the rest of the world was ready. And we've been talking about this for months. We've been teasing it. We've been discussing it and trying not to get too hyped up because the trailers were great.
Absolutely. Yeah. We probably watched the trailer there for a while, like once a week at least.
I did just to entertain myself every once in a while. Ding, 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 ding. I was very much, you kept telling me, you're like, the same thing that you told me with War of the Planet of the Apes was stop watching the trailer over and over again because you're going to hype it up too much in your mind.
That's true. That's absolutely true.
And yeah. I was trying really hard not to with this one, but I feel like regardless of me hyping it up for myself, the world hyped up the film to the nth degree.
Oh, yeah. Everyone was like, let's see Black Panther and let's do it. Let's get this going here because I feel like, especially when you had 9 months of advertising, mm-hmm. you're like, well, I want to see this movie.
It's interesting, though, because it was a different kind of thing. It was like with Star Wars The Force Awakens, when that came out, it was, this better be good. Mm. You got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. But with Black Panther, it was, this is going to be good. Not, this better be good, this is going to be good.
That's true.
And
that's a good point.
So now when you go to the theater, you just have to judge on how much you like it, not whether or not you like it. That is very much the vibe I was getting about this
film. To what degree do you like Black Panther?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's got to be like right. from 11 to 19 on a 10-point scale. Like that is okay. What I was...
I sense some jadedness in you. Well,
no, it's just one of those things where we saw this on Thursday,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah,
we're
we
actually recording this on Sunday. We're releasing on Monday, and so we normally record the moment that we get home.
It's true.
But we're old now.
Actually, no, I was, hold on, I was ready to record as soon as we got home, but you were old and said no.
And then what happened 20 minutes later? What happened 20 minutes later?
Our baby's going through a 1-year sleep regression, and so she was like, scream your head off. Yeah.
And I said, gee, I'm so glad that we didn't record. That would have been a ruined
all
take.
Right, all yeah. right.
But yeah, that's the thing. It's like, for those of you who, if you're just tuning in, we are in fact a married couple, and we are, that is why it's called Nerd Nuptial, and we just celebrated a 1-year birthday with our baby, and we had the her grandparents watch the baby so that we could actually go see Black Panther, and it was a good crowd.
Yeah, it was great.
It was a good presentation.
Everyone was like, I think everyone wanted to be there.
Yeah,
that was kind of nice. It was like everyone, well, I think like what you said at the top of the show was like the idea of everyone was like, this is gonna be good.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a nice audience to go into it with.
I think so too. And there's really only one person who used their phone, and they only used it once or twice.
Oh my gosh. I didn't see anyone.
I don't know how you don't see these people.
Only you. Only you.
It illuminates the theater. Okay. Speaking of theater, side note before we actually get into it.
Yeah.
This was maddening. This was maddening. I've always kind of experienced this, but this was the worst. The red glow and haze from the security lights in the theater, like from the floor
like the
lights.
Floor?
Yeah, the floor lights and the exit signs and everything like that was overtaking the screen.
We've been in that theater for like every show though.
I know that, but it seemed amped up. Hmm. Like there was this red haze. It was like they were on Mars for like the first half of the film.
Really?
I was like, oh, no. At first I saw it. I was just like, oh, maybe I'm just, it's just my imagination. Maybe they'll dim
down. Maybe it's still your imagination because I didn't notice.
Oh my God. No, it was insane. Like, I thought about writing a letter. Like, I thought about going to the management and saying, like, can you tone it down a little bit? I know safety first. You know, safety is sexy, but we got to figure out how to tone it down because, you know, like, a lot of this took place at night. And
so, for the first half of the film, were you just writing your letter in your head, or were you watching the film?
No, I was able to, like, about
after I know you.
After the first 10 minutes, I was able to kind of like get past it. But I was shocked. I was like, "This is insane."
Okay.
I was like, "We're watching a Dolby Vision movie, and they all look like they're on Mars."
Oh, okay. No, I didn't notice at all. It was good. Oh, okay. All right. Well, let's go with our first impressions.
Okay.
About the film first, like spoiler free, and then we'll go into spoilers, like we usually do.
Yeah, that's what we normally
do. Yeah, just so that people can kind of get a taste of what we were thinking first, and then go into it.
And then if you haven't seen it yet, you can go into it. But this is a major blockbuster.
Yeah,
release.
So I feel like you should have seen it if you're listening to this podcast.
If you're a nerd, if you're nerdy enough to listen to this podcast, you probably have seen it over the weekend.
Right.
That's one benefit of releasing on Mondays.
That's true. Give people the weekend to see it.
Give you the time. Okay. So this was a Ryan Coogler movie. And Ryan Coogler was the guy who did Fruitvale Station as well as Creed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sensing a theme with Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
But this movie, when it premiered with just limited release, it was 100% Rotten Tomatoes. 100%. Wow. Now that it's open wide, it's down to 97%.
Wow.
That's not that much of a drop.
No, it's not.
Like even Thor 3 that came out super strong, way stronger than it needed to be.
Yeah.
Dropped down to like 93 immediately. This one is staying steady at 97 and we're on Sunday.
Okay.
Now I'm sure once the week goes on, more people will come in, but still that is insane.
Yeah. Like,
not even The Godfather, I think, has a 100% rating.
Wow.
No.
I mean, time though, you have to like give it time.
I know. And that's the thing though, is that like you, like as many people constantly remind us online via email, as well as on our social media networks. Oh, by the way, everyone should go to thenerdparty.com. That's where you can find all of our back episodes, all of our other shows on the network. We got Star Wars shows, Star Trek shows, Harry Potter, General Geek podcast, even a Doctor Who podcast. And you can find all of our social media there, Facebook at facebook.com/nerdparty, Twitter at joinnerdparty, as well as Instagram. We're all over the place. So go to thenerdparty.com. So I totally lost track on what I was saying.
Well, I thought we were going to say our first impressions, but then you kind of...
I started going on about like about numbers and everything
like
that. But like right now it's at like, it's at an insane at box office mojo. I just wanted to, before we started talking about what we thought, I wanted to get some hype and like, because like it opened on Thursday. It's now Sunday and we're at $361 million worldwide.
It's pretty crazy.
And 192 of that is domestic. That's insane. That is, it immediately it grew, like Ryan Coogler, as a black director, he has grossed the most money as a black director in film.
Wow, that's awesome.
That's a huge feather in his cap. And it's just, so I feel like the reason why I gave giving all this preface is because I've had a couple of days to talk about it with a few other friends and a few people online.
How dare you?
Some people in person. Not in depth. But it's interesting to see the varying degrees of intensity.
Okay.
Like everyone I've talked to has said, yeah, it's gone from like, yeah, no, it's a well-made film, you know, it's fine, whatever, to like, oh my God, my face is melting. So between those two,
from my face is melting.
Where do you land?
I think, okay, so like we didn't talk about it, but walking out, you were like, you liked it more than I did.
I could tell you, not me saying that
yeah,
to you.
Yeah, you said that to me. You were like, you liked that more than I did. And I said, I think I did. The fact that you're saying that to me, yes, I think I did. So my face is not melting. You know, it's not like one of our favorites that I can't stop talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're a longtime listener, you know, like there's a few that we just always mention. But I loved it.
Oh, you loved it?
I did. Okay. I thought it was so much fun.
I didn't know you loved it.
Yeah. Like, I want to go back and see it. Like,
oh, that's big.
Yeah. That's
big for you.
That is big.
Because
honestly, rewatching Marvel, you have to pull teeth to get me to rewatch Marvel at home. You're like, because you'll buy it. And then you'll be like, want to watch this?
Oh, like, I'll want to do like a lead up. I'm like, oh, Thor 3 is coming out. Let's watch the first one.
And I'm like, no.
No.
No, I don't.
No. I'm like, okay. I'll watch Baby Mama for a 10th time.
Shut up. No. And also, it's a wonderful film. But I really did. I loved it. And I understand that it's not a perfect film, but it delivered on every area that I wanted it to.
And what areas did you want it to deliver on?
Well, I think that as a Marvel film, so since we're not huge Marvel people, I felt like it was one of the best Marvel films I've seen.
One of. What do you think is better Marvel-wise, if you can?
Honestly, I'd have to go back and watch like Civil War and stuff to kind of gauge it.
Mm-hmm.
But to be completely honest, I cared more about the characters in this than some of the other, like, I forget about Avengers. I don't really care about any of them. Maybe I could care about, like, Captain America in Civil War more, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I really cared about the characters in this film. Like, there were several times where I'm like, you better not kill that person. And I thought, I was like, I'm going to get emotional if they die.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
That, for me, I was like, okay, cool. You delivered. So how did you feel?
Like, as I was watching it, I knew.
Are you more meh than face melting?
I don't think I'm more meh than face melting, but I went into it, like, I knew there was so much hype. It made me think about Wonder Woman.
Okay.
I was thinking a lot about Wonder Woman, you know, while watching this film and also leading up to this film, where I'm just like, okay, you know, this people are talking about this film like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about it like it's the Dark Knight or like it's the Second Coming. And I'm like, there's just no way it's that good. Like with Wonder Woman and mm-hmm. Black Panther, I'm just like, there's no way it's that good. And so I went into it expecting it to not be perfect or not right. be amazing,
mm-hmm.
which I thought would be in a good place, because if I overhype something, then I'm just going to get disappointed. But if I go into it thinking like, okay, just go in for a good time,
mm-hmm.
then it'll be good. And that's what I got. I got a good time. Like, it's a very entertaining film, and it's a very well-made film.
Yeah,
I think it's well structured, well paced. I was never bored.
Mm-hmm.
I never felt like, oh God, why are we still here?
Right.
Which is very rare in modern superhero films.
Very true. Like, but there's a lot of filler.
There's so much filler in modern superhero films where I'm just like, okay, let's move on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying like, let's cut to the chase or let's get to the action scene. It's just like, let's move on. Let's mm-hmm. Propel the story. And with Wonder Woman, I knew that the cultural impact was going to be bigger than the film itself, if that makes sense. Maybe not bigger than the film itself. The cultural impact was going to be more significant than the filmmaking.
Okay.
In Wonder Woman.
So like, you know, giving little girls a superhero to look up to.
Yes.
Okay.
And so, and then when I saw Wonder Woman, and then I was like, oh, this is a really good film. Then we got to the third act. I'm like, oh, okay. That kind of made it just an okay film, skewed towards good. With Black Panther, I kind of felt the same way. I was like, this is going to be huge because of its cultural impact.
Mm-hmm.
This is the biggest Black-led cast film ever made.
Yeah.
That's a big deal, and I am not discounting that, nor should anyone discount that. Whether you liked it or hated it, this movie still means something bigger than what the filmmaking is.
Sure,
and that's what I try to wrap my head around. I'm just like, I am a straight white male, you know, and American.
Keep that in check, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, right. just like, okay, so this is going to say something to me
mm-hmm.
differently than what it's going to say to somebody who doesn't look like me.
Right.
And actually, you and I even ran into that because of the female representation was amazing.
It really was.
And I recognize that and I love that, but I'm not a woman. And so it resonated with you even more.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, the amount of supporting cast that were main leads that mm-hmm. were female, I was like, I think it even sold it more for me.
Yeah.
Like, I think I liked the supporting cast of females even more than the lead, because I was like, wow, that's awesome that they you know, he's like surrounding himself with like his general is a female.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's awesome. It's kick ass. You know,
yeah.
They had me when I found that, like, I was like, okay, I'm good.
And when his royal guard was all female, they could have taken that in a very different direction.
Right. Whereas they were powerful, they weren't sex symbols.
It wasn't like what you hear about with, like, with mm-hmm. North Korea, with the all, you know right. that kind of business going on.
Right. Or like they're, I don't know, you're objectifying women
yeah.
because you could go many different ways. Even the fact that his sister was like the brains of the operation, kind of like the Q.
Very
of,
much
of the operation of like actually the whole country mm-hmm. That was really cool. So
and that's the thing, is that like I went into it and I was just like, okay, my favorite superhero film of all time is The Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm.
I measure every single superhero film I watch to that.
That's a different beast.
I
in
know.
My opinion,
I know it
I
is.
I don't think we can keep comparing, because it's never going to live up to that in your head.
I know.
So for me, I was just measuring it based on Marvel personal, like that was the first thing, was Marvel. Okay, like think about all the other Marvel films, and also did I enjoy this film?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm. Well, so with me, I was just like, okay, this is a good film, this is not a perfect film. Like, everyone is talking about it like it's a perfect film. It's not, in my opinion. It's a good film. I'm not going to rate it yet.
Okay.
But, because I did go on Letterboxd real quick and like
okay.
a review.
Okay, I didn't look at your review.
Whatnot. But that being said, I feel like I have to clarify that if it wasn't for the, if I just went in, like if no one, if there was no hype, if there was no 9-month advertisement, if there was no like, oh my God, this is going to be a huge cultural impact movie, and I just went into it, I'd be like, wow. That's a good film. Like, that's a great Marvel movie.
Hmm.
But because because of all of this, I'm comparing it to the cultural hype, and I need to separate it.
I guess for me, I'm not, because the only hype I hear about is you telling me, because I'm so disconnected from social media.
It's true.
My Instagram's just full of like fat babies. It's adorable. So it's just like, I mean, I don't have any reference, mm-hmm. I guess is what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
You know, I guess that could hurt me. But for me, I'm just like, here's what I think. And I'm not going to compare it to anyone else.
And that's good. But no, the like I said, like the film is good and all the things that I said at the top of the show. And I love how it juggled genres. And but it did it skillfully.
Like, what do you mean by that?
Well, okay. So like it was a superhero film.
Mm-hmm.
But it was also an action film.
Mm-hmm.
It was also a sci-fi film.
Yeah.
And it was also a spy drama. It was like a James Bond film.
Yeah.
I mean, like they had a Q session where he went and got his futuristic equipment and then went to a casino and talked into his sleeve. You know, like it was.
That's true.
It was.
That's
just,
true.
It was just all these cool spy elements, but it was.
And it all worked.
And it all worked. But then we moved on and we went into another genre. Most of the time, you're just like, oh, this is a schizophrenic movie. It doesn't know what it's trying to be. But that blended all together. And I think
yeah.
that's great direction and great editing.
Absolutely. Should we get into spoilers?
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
I think that's
so.
I mean, like, this is, guys, this is a good film. This is an
I
entertaining
loved it.
Film. The girl loved it. I thought it was good. Maybe I'll grow to love it more upon second viewings and everything. I usually do on
mm-hmm.
you know films like that where they're a little too hyped up for me. I'm just like, okay, I can just enjoy them now that the expectation is gone.
Right.
But yeah, so go see it. If you haven't seen it, go see it. It's worth your time. It's worth your money.
Right.
And yeah. Okay, so from here on out, spoiler, you have been warned. Spoiler
That's
territory.
Right.
Spoiler territory. Okay, so T'Challa,
mm-hmm.
there were times when I really liked him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are times when I thought he was kind of boring.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. Chadwick Boseman is a great actor.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like there were certain times when they gave him some really cool things to do. And other times when he was just kind of window dressing. When he was just there to propel the plot.
I would agree. Because I think there were certain moments when I was like, caring more about the sister mm-hmm. or Shuri, yeah.
The sister's name is Shuri.
Yeah, I guess I cared about like his relationship with Nakia and I cared about, like, I guess his friendships I cared about, mm-hmm. but maybe he himself as, like, a superhero, I was just kind of lukewarm about.
Yeah. The movie, it, like...
It's not all about him.
It's not a... Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, yeah, like, it's called Black Panther, but I think it really should be called Wakanda.
Yeah.
Am I overstating it?
Unless you think of, like, Black Panther as being this dynasty of, like...
Well, it is.
Well, I know, but, like, I'm just saying, like, how it's been through time and everything, because they, mm-hmm. they, you know, they explore that. But I think you're kind of right. It is more about Wakanda and...
Well, let me explain why I said that. I'm not saying, like, oh, it's all about Wakanda, but they do a great job of making this an ensemble film.
Yes, which I did not expect.
I didn't expect it either.
Because we don't... I mean, okay, we do have that in certain Marvel films, but they're billed more as that. You know, you got the Avengers or Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, it's built into the right. name. Yeah, this is an exactly. ensemble film.
Whereas this was an unexpected ensemble piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, I think that's key. I mean, like, obviously, I mean, Black Panther, Chadwick Boseman, he's the lead.
Yeah.
It's his film. But you find yourself being in, like, there's so many characters and you find yourself being invested in every single one of them.
Which is hard to do.
It is really hard to do.
Because a lot of times when they throw too many characters at us, I'm kind of like, ugh, I can't keep up. Or I don't care because there are too many characters.
Because you can't keep up, you don't care.
Exactly. But I did not feel that way in this at all.
The thing is, though, is that, like, I find myself loving Black Panther, T'Challa. Mm-hmm. And then I find myself indifferent to him because there are certain scenes where, like, the scene where he went to see his ancestors the second time, mm-hmm. and he's crying, he's frustrated, he's telling them, no, I'm not going to stay here, I'm going to go back to the real world.
Right.
Like, I was just like, holy crap, this guy can emote.
Absolutely.
And then, like, right, like, in the first fight when he's freeing Nakia, and, like, she comes in and he says, hi, like, in his suit behind his mask.
Cute. Yeah,
it's adorable.
It is.
Like, you have this killing machine,
right?
He's just like, hi.
Yeah, and they gave him some really awesome moves in the final fight too, where, you know, he was, like, using the shields, like, yeah. But overall, I would agree with you that he was probably lower on my. I don't know. On the ladder of caring about the characters, he was probably lower than some of the other ones that I was like, oh, no, they're awesome. And we've never seen them before.
Right.
So, I don't know. Yeah, it's interesting.
And it's weird, though, because I don't feel... I'm not criticizing Boseman. Like, I'm not criticizing the actor, because there's times when you're, like, you see an actor and you're like, I don't care about you because you're not convincing me to care about you. I really do
feel... No, I didn't feel that way.
It was either the writing or the scenes that they gave him. I don't know.
I think because they gave the ensemble so many cool things to do.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's
it. To back him up, you know?
So maybe too many people stole the show.
Maybe.
And,
maybe. Yeah. So who in your head you're thinking of when you say that?
Well, I feel like the world kind of feels that Michael B. Jordan stole the show. That's the guy who played Eric Killmonger, the Wakandan who became an American and then came back.
Right.
And I think I was surprised at the level of intensity. I was surprised at how convincing his argument was. I was surprised at let me just put it this way. In my opinion, he's easily the best Marvel villain that we've ever gotten.
Oh, okay.
But when you look at the Marvel villains that we've gotten in the past,
that's true.
That's not saying too terribly much.
Well, he's dimensional. He's more dimensional. And there was a point where I'm like, okay, I agree with him. Like, there was a certain point when I, like, at one moment I was like, wait, do I agree with the villain?
Yeah.
And then he turned where you're like, no, he's not. He doesn't have good intentions.
And he also murdered a lot of people.
Right, I understand that.
You might forget that part.
I know. Like, I mean, his body shows it. But there was that struggle of morality there where, you know, T'Challa.
T'Challa.
Sorry. I'm going to do that several times. Apologize. But... I felt like there was a lot of – that was an interesting, actually, plot point was, what do we do with this technology? we've been keeping it for all these years, and should we share it with the world? Is it safe to share with the world?
I loved that that was the point of the movie.
It really was a huge part of the movie.
Because I remember you and I had a conversation about this, because before the movie even came out, before they even advertised the movie, when they just said, like, oh, this is going to be about Wakanda and Black Panther, I'm like, I talked to you about this. I said, are they going to address this? Because Wakanda is the most technologically advanced country in the world, depending on which comic you read into.
Right.
But, you know, like, with the way that the world is right now, you know, like, certain parts of Africa are the worst parts of the world. And certain parts of the Middle East are the worst parts of the world. Even if you go to another hemisphere, like, you have bad parts of the world all over the place. And so they're a hidden superpower. And when you go to other superpowers, like the United States, a lot of the times, that's the burden of a superpower, is to give aid to other areas of the world. And if you have that ability and you're choosing not to, like, you're, the only reason why you're getting away with it is because people think that you're just a bunch of sheep herders. But once you reveal yourself, you then have that public responsibility. That right now, they just have a private one. And I'm so happy that that was the point of the film, because I just wanted it. I just wanted it to be explained. But that's the entire purpose.
Well, and it also is interesting to see it from both perspectives, too, where, you know, we've been hiding it because we're afraid of what it could do. And, you know, so it was like, it was this like struggle over like who's right. And it was really cool the way that they ended it, where, you know, they were willing to share and, you know, but help, you know, it, like, kind of guide and even use like their main people to guide the situation. But yeah, I don't know. That was an interesting plot point. I didn't expect that to be like the point.
I didn't either. I really didn't expect that to be the main purpose of the movie. And it's interesting how, like, in this Marvel Cinematic Universe, how the politics of the world are changing, because you, like, you don't normally see that too terribly much. Like, you see it on a much smaller scale. Like, to go back to The Dark Knight, you see how one superhero affects a city and that's it. And, or sometimes it's a neighborhood, like with Daredevil or something like that. And with this, with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you have, like, with the Avengers, you have them, like, the aliens came in and tried to destroy New York, and we're like, oh crap, we're gonna have to deal with this now. We now know that we're not alone, and we now know that there's a god run around like Thor, and like Tony Stark is Iron Man, and he's starting to become a world police. And and then even something as recent with Thor 3, you have spoiler for Thor 3 if you haven't seen it, but you should have by now. They have all of the refugees from his homeworld, and they're gonna be coming to Earth. And so I kept wondering what's going to be the political ramifications of having that many people. And then we have this, where we have all of a sudden we have a new superpower that's way more advanced than anybody else. What's that going to do to America?
Right.
How is America going to feel about that?
And we have, like, it looks like at the end of the Infinity Wars trailer, we have Guardians of the Galaxy coming into, I mean, they're already a part of the Marvel Universe, but they're like entering into the picture too. So it's interesting how it's like a global scale. It's not just a global scale. It's like a universe scale?
It's becoming
like
a galactic scale.
Yeah. So it's true. Then you have Wakanda that, you know, could help at least this planet in different ways, for sure. You know, since they can heal people and they have these advanced technology.
Transportation.
So, yeah.
It's
a lot.
It's a lot to digest. And we're not even talking about the move, like we're just talking about certain political ramifications of the end of the movie. Like, we haven't even really gotten into the to the plot points.
It's true.
There's, like, the more I'm thinking about it, there's just so much to digest. And it's pretty amazing that they got it into 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Yeah, and it made sense.
And it didn't feel rushed. It didn't feel jumbled or anything like
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So to answer your question, because we started talking about Michael B. Jordan and everything like that. He didn't steal the show from me, even though I feel like most people would answer that. Person who stole it from me.
It's going to be the same for me.
You know who I'm going to say.
Yeah.
And that's Danai Gurira.
Yeah. She stole it from me too.
Of course. I mean, we know her from The Walking Dead.
Yes.
And we love her.
Michonne.
As Michonne from The Walking Dead. And actually, this is our 89th episode.
Yeah.
And we're recording this on our second anniversary of Nerd Nuptial.
That's crazy.
And so I forgot to talk about that at the top of the show. But yeah.
And we were actually talked, like, our very first episode of Nerd Nuptial
was referencing Danai Gurira.
Yeah, because we talked about an episode of Walking Dead.
Yeah.
So she's like our cover art for our very first Nerd Nuptial episode.
I'll need to find...
It's very cyclical.
Yeah. I think so, too. And we'll next year, we'll have to, figure out how to talk about her
wherever
again.
She's in. That's right.
But yeah, so, and honestly, yeah, happy anniversary.
Oh, thank you.
Happy
you
nerd anniversary.
Yeah, that's right.
And we want to thank everybody who's been listening to us for 2 years, because a lot of you have been.
That's true.
A lot of you have stuck with us from episode one. And have been writing us all the time. And so we thank you so much for writing us on social media, on email. If you want to write us an email, go to thenerdparty.com/contact. Select Nerd Nuptial from the drop-down menu. Fill out the form. It'll send us an email. And if you really want to celebrate our anniversary, what you can do is go to iTunes and give us a review. Please, please. It only takes a minute of your time. Go to iTunes. If you give us a 5-star review, we'll mention you on the show. So back to the movie.
All right.
Danai Gurira, who played, I can't remember how to pronounce her character's name, because I don't remember it said that often in the movie. Yeah. It was, it's O-K-O-Y-E.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm just going to call her Danai.
Okay. We'll just call her by her real name. No, she was amazing.
The general. We'll say the
she
general.
She was awesome.
Yeah.
And she, for me, stole this show. Like, if I had to choose a favorite character... She's my favorite character.
So, like, if there was going to be a spinoff, would you want it to be about her?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And I think, like, just the idea of, like, her kind of, first of all, being a woman general and also being, like, loyal to the throne, I think that was interesting, too. Like, she was friends with, like, you know, the royal family.
It's weird. Our favorite character in Wonder Woman was a female general, too.
It's true. We might have a thing for female generals.
But yeah, sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think a close second, though, was the sister.
Shuri.
Shuri, for sure. Because she, like, in our audience, she stole the show.
Oh, yeah. You could,
like,
feel it.
Oh, yeah. Like, every time she was on screen, like, people were ready to laugh because she had so many cute lines.
A lot of people are talking about her on Twitter saying, like, she's so young and this is the first time she's been introduced. But yet she's already a fan favorite.
Oh, yeah.
And people are saying, like, bring her on for more. Don't just keep her in a Black Panther film. Bring her for some other stuff, too.
I'm hoping that they don't, because they did bring her to California at the end.
Right.
You know, so hopefully we'll see more of her as the Marvel Universe, especially since she was a fan favorite. I mean, clearly a fan favorite. It might be a little harder to see Danai's character outside of Wakanda, but
that's true. But, I didn't really think about that. But we could argue that wherever he goes,
that's true.
She would go to protect, quote unquote, the throne.
That is true.
Not she doesn't necessarily
now be
protect,
fine with me.
Yeah, she doesn't necessarily protect Wakanda. She protects
the
throne.
Yeah, but I loved the one-liners that the sister, like Shuri, had, and just like also the fact that she was so smart,
mm-hmm.
and you know, had all this technology at her fingertips, but she was so young. That was awesome.
I love
and a female.
And a female, yeah. And like they kind of build her as like smarter than Tony Stark.
Yeah.
And that's pretty amazing. That like, what is she, 16? Like a 16-year-old Black woman.
Yeah.
Is smarter than the wealthiest man in the world. You know, like that's cool.
Absolutely.
That's cool. That's a cool perspective to have in the Marvel universe.
Mm-hmm.
And I love how they explained Wakanda.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was like, okay, meteor hit. They were the only society that were exposed to this mineral. They used this mineral in everything. Boom, advanced society.
Right.
But it wasn't just like, oh, they were gifted it.
Right.
They had to learn how to use that mineral. They had to learn how to use vibranium.
Absolutely.
And so they still, it wasn't just like, oh, somebody made them technologically mm-hmm. advanced. It's just, oh, they had a resource and they used it. And then
they were smart enough to use it. Right.
And so, yeah.
I also loved just, like, I loved that the architecture maintained, like, the culture of Wakanda.
Yes.
But it was still, like, you could tell that they were an advanced mm-hmm. civilization that maintained their culture. They didn't westernize or anything like that. Like,
it was unapologetically tribal.
Exactly. And the costumes were amazing. And I loved how, you know, the costumes were representative of each tribe. Mm-hmm. And they maintained that throughout, you know, you could tell which tribe each group was from.
So colorful.
Oh my gosh. It's beautiful.
So rarely do you get that much color in a superhero film.
It's true. And it was just, it was nice to, like, it was cool to see, like, this protected environment that was so technologically advanced and cool. It was just like, I want to go there. That's awesome.
It's funny that you bring up the tribes, because it made me want to learn more about the tribes, because I got so nerdy with it where I was like, I want to learn more about the politics of the tribes and how do they interact with each other? Is there any jealousy? Do they feel like one is better than the other?
You kind of felt that a little bit when they went to the hilltop.
I can't remember what that's called, but what is that? M'Baku.
Yeah.
M'Baku's tribe.
You kind of felt a little bit of that when they talked about the vibranium in that scene where they were seeking shelter. You got a little bit of, you know, that there would have been some jealousy.
Well, I was mainly thinking with the other ones that like were ruled by T'Challa and by the Black Panther, because that one was clearly separate.
Right. But there was some jealousy there, which was interesting to see. And you could probably explore that within itself.
I guess, and then you had, might be understating it a little bit, because then you had Wakabi's tribe, the rhinos and the herders and everything like that, played by Daniel Kaluuya, the guy
from
Get Out.
Yeah.
Do you feel like he was a little underused?
Yes, I did. But I didn't know where would you use, like, that character more. Yeah, I mean, he already was denies love, so that's pretty cool.
Okay, I want to talk about that. One of the reasons why I was just kind of like, this isn't a 5-star film for me.
Was that?
Well, no, was because it was so predictable. And this movie, that was one of the knocks that I gave it, was it is so utterly predictable. You knew exactly what was going to happen from one minute to the next. And that moment where T'Challa's with Wakabi and they're outside and they're looking at the rhinos, and then the general calls him up and she says, "My king, my love." The moment she says "my love," I'm like, he's either gonna die or going to betray them. And there were so many times when I was just like, and then when Black Panther fought for his throne, and then we found out that he was going to fight again, I was like, oh, he's going to lose, because we already saw him win once. We're not going to see him win twice. And then we're going to see him win the third time.
I get that.
And I'm just giving small examples.
I understand.
And I'm sure that most people, of course, could see that coming. But like, I think I actually mentioned, a friend of mine asked me, like, what did you think of it? And I gave him all the positives, and then I gave him two negatives. And one was the predictability. He said, he's like, I don't care about that.
Mm.
And so many people don't care about that.
I understand where you're coming from, and I totally agree. Like, there was a moment where I was like, okay, I felt that too. And honestly, I thought, though, that they were going to kill off one of my favorite girls, one of the ladies, you know, whether it was Shuri or whether it was
Nakia.
Yeah, whichever one. I was like, they're not all going to live. But they did. So I was like, oh, cool.
That was surprising. Yeah.
But I don't know. I guess I was okay with it. I was along for the ride. But I do, from a filmmaking standpoint, yes, it was very predictable. Like, you knew what was going to happen. You knew that he was going to be overthrown. It was, you know, there was a lot of elements where you're like, I've seen that done before, especially in a throne environment too. You see, like, okay, well, you know, even like the idea of like the king dying or close to death, we've seen that done a lot. So
I'm not trying to say that every film has to be like an M. Night Shyamalan film or anything like that. It would not be good. I'm not trying to say that everything needs has twists and turns. It was just everything was broadcast of what was going to happen next. That's the only thing. That's the only reason why, in my opinion.
Okay. Did you still enjoy the ride, though?
I did enjoy the... No, it's an entertaining film. I did enjoy the ride. Now, there were so many great characters. Now, Michael B. Jordan as Eric Killmonger.
Mm-hmm.
I was... We all knew that he was going to be the bad guy because mm-hmm. of the trailers. But Andy Serkis's character, the trailers made it look like it was going to be Killmonger and Claw, you know, side by side, taking over Wakanda.
They really did not use him very much.
They didn't, but I thought they used him very well.
Yes.
In my opinion. Do you disagree?
I have mixed feelings about that because I feel like if you have Andy Serkis, you should probably use him like later on as like a more influential bad guy. Does that make sense? Like where...
No, I don't know what you mean.
Well, like give him a role where he's like a recurring bad guy or something like that because you have Andy Serkis.
Well, this is the second time we're seeing him.
I know. I don't know. I guess I was a little disappointed with how he was used. And in the same respect, it was nice to see the unexpected happen.
I guess that's the one thing that I didn't find predictable.
Was that he wasn't going to be along that the way.
They killed him off. They killed him off. And I was like, oh, they really killed him off.
Yeah.
Like, he's gone.
Right.
It's not like, oh, we'll see him in another movie. He's out of the movie. No, he's dead.
That's true.
And that was surprising me because it was kind of like the whole Drew Barrymore syndrome with Scream. Like, maybe not to that crazy degree, but it was, they kept advertising him. They kept showing him. He was such a huge focus of the advertisement.
Well, I think it's because of his speech. He was the one who, you know, in the interrogation cell, he was telling all about Wakanda.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that speech lend itself, unless you want to use like the prologue at the beginning where we learn about vibranium, I feel like he had the one speech that explained Wakanda.
Yeah.
You know.
That's true, yeah.
But I agree. Like, we expected to see him more than we did.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, I'm not disappointed by it. I was fine with it because it passed the torch on to Michael B. Jordan where we're just like, okay, he is going to be way more of a focus.
Yeah.
Which he should have been. Now, speaking of white guys. Martin Freeman was also in this. Do you feel like we needed Martin Freeman?
Not really.
Right?
Not really. I mean, he was fine.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with him.
But I was just kind of like...
He was kind of there.
Okay, all right.
Like, I feel like his role towards the end, like, towards the end...
Yeah, I cared about him towards the end when he was, like, in the plane.
But what I was going to say was, I feel like Shuri could have been in the plane.
Very, very easily.
I feel like Shuri probably should have been in the plane.
That's true, because where would she have been? She probably would have been in her lab.
Right. And because Martin Freeman was in her lab. That is the one place where I felt like that was maybe a studio interference, where they're just like, okay, we need to throw in a little bit more connection. We've seen Martin Freeman before.
Okay.
And also, we can't have the only white guy in the film be a bad guy, so let's throw in a good white guy. And part of me was just like, okay, I get it. Another part of me is like, eh, but it feels redundant.
Yeah.
Like, we don't really need him.
You didn't really need him. And I mean, I guess the only thing, he was our connection to the outside world,
That's true.
Because he was experiencing Wakanda for the first time.
But we didn't explore that too terribly much.
No, but...
Maybe a little bit.
I feel like without overdoing it, without saying, like, here's Wakanda, let me take you on a tour of the chocolate factory. I feel like it would be, instead of that, I feel like they did a good job of, like, you know, Shuri saying, like, look at my trains, you can see from here.
That's true.
We're not going, you just got injured, like, we are going to keep you to be healed. So I don't think it needed to be, you know, a whole tour, you know.
No, I'm not asking for a tour of the chocolate factory, but
I know, but I'm just saying that I feel like they did a good job if they were going to have him there and him be the outsider experiencing. Although at the same time, we had Michael B. Jordan experiencing Wakanda, but he had heard about Wakanda before.
Yeah, he
Whereas, you know, Martin Freeman's character.
I get what you're saying.
And
you're right, because he was the outsider. He was used as
the connection.
As the connection. He was used as the exposition device and everything like that. And I think they used him fine. But I feel like all of that could have been done easily without an extra character.
Yeah, I agree. I think we're nitpicking. But
that,
yeah.
That's all. Did it make or break the film for me? No, no. It's fine.
But and like, you know, it was, I did care when he was like shooting down the planes, and and then there was the one plane that was inside, like trying to get to him. I did care about that. I thought that was like, I was like, no, get out. But did it have to be him? Probably not. Absolutely.
Now, how did you feel about Zuri dying, Forrest Whitaker's character? Did you care?
Yeah, he was like his surrogate dad.
Okay.
You know, in that moment, and I also kind of appreciated the connection to Michael B. Jordan's character, like why he would be frustrated. Mm-hmm. Or really angry, not just frustrated.
I'm a little PO'd at you.
A little more than that.
Okay.
Sorry, I was downplaying that a little too much there. No, but I also, it was kind of nice to see that, like, he was also the voice of his father, mm-hmm. of why, even though it was wrong, of why he did what he did. His dad did, like, left Michael B. Jordan's character. So I cared about him. I did.
Maybe I need to, I don't know, maybe I need to rethink some stuff, because I just, when he died.
It's Forrest Whitaker also. I mean, come on.
Well, he failed me so hard in Rogue One.
Oh my gosh, really? No, resentment from
I don't blame him at all for Rogue One. No, no, what happened was is that, like you were talking about, like, you thought that they were going to kill one of the women.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't, and I think that's great. But with him being the only person who died besides the bad guys, I felt like he was the person who I had the least emotional connection to. Out of all of the good guys, he's the one I had the least emotional connection to. And so I feel like that's why they killed him, because they could spare him.
Hmm.
Because if you killed Ramonda, which was T'Challa's mom, mm-hmm. played by Angela Bassett, who doesn't age.
Oh my gosh, seriously.
She's been a good 40 for 20 years.
It's insane. She's looked that way for our entire lives.
It's true.
For our entire lives, she's looked that age. I don't know what's going on there.
I don't know how that's possible.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
But
it's just like, if they killed her, that'd be too easy and too cheap.
Well, I didn't have as much of an emotional connection to her.
But I had a because it was his mom, I felt...
Maybe the Martha complex again?
No.
I'm just messing with you.
Martha.
I'm just messing with you.
Ramonda! No. You're killing Ramonda!
He already lost his dad. We didn't need his mom to die, too.
That's what I'm trying to say. Okay. I'm trying to say it'd be a cheap shot. You make him an orphan. But, like, he loses his dad, and then he loses his surrogate dad. But, like, it'd be harder... are you arguing with me about like come on, he's the least emotional connection out of all of the good guys.
He's out of all the good guys.
Yeah. You yeah.
I guess so. I cared about him.
I don't know what I'm arguing anymore.
I guess you said that you didn't care about him, and I was like I cared about him.
Okay, so you said that you cared about him. I'm saying that he was the least I cared about, but you're right. His connection to Michael B. Jordan, his connection to the uncle and to the father.
And I think it made sense. Like when they killed him, I was like, oh, no.
I need to see it again. Because I can't argue with you.
I was sad. I was like, oh, no, he can't do the ceremony.
It just didn't resonate with me, but I don't know. Maybe I was overlooking some things.
Well, I'm just really surprised that more people did not die.
Yeah.
Because also, when there was the uprising, you know, well, I guess not. Was it more of an uprising? It wasn't. Yeah, I guess it. Would you call it that? Because it was more like they were being loyal to the throne.
Yeah.
And since Michael B. Jordan had the throne, they were, you know, defending.
It's a coup.
Okay, a coup.
When the coup was going on.
So, like, I was thinking, I was like, it's going to be really hard to rule after this.
Right?
I mean, when you have, you know, all his friends turning against him because it's the throne, like, how is this gonna work?
Like, and also, like, the shepherd tribe or the rhino tribe or whatever, like, do they represent the entire tribe, or are they just the warriors of that tribe? Do you just blame the warriors of the tribe? And then, like,
right, like,
how much forgiveness is T'Challa gonna give?
Exactly. That was the first thing I thought when they started fighting, I was like, how is this going to go down after?
Yeah.
I mean, unless they're just so loyal to the idea of the throne that it doesn't matter. It's not about you. It's about the throne. Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
It's going
to
be weird.
Yeah. And it was really cool to see, you know, everyone fighting. It wasn't just the males, because you see that a lot. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, the females and the males.
It didn't just have, like, one token woman like a Black Widow.
Right, because you see that a lot. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, since Wonder Woman, not that it's, you know, because of Wonder Woman, but I don't think we're as afraid to see, I don't know, like, think about it. During Star Wars in the 70s, they wouldn't put a woman, you know, in the seat of a cockpit, because they're like, well, you can't handle her dying.
Right.
Well, now we actually see, like, woman warriors, which mm-hmm. is awesome.
Like, what? No matter what you feel, or no matter how you feel about Wonder Woman or Black Panther, it has changed things.
Absolutely.
Now, was it the first of its kind, like everyone is saying, in terms of, like, a black superhero or a female superhero? No. We've seen all that stuff before, but never to this scale.
Right.
Never to this type of national and worldwide attention.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing, because people love to nitpick, say, like, oh, you're forgetting about Blade, or, oh, you're forgetting about this, you're forgetting about that, or, like, putting all these qualifiers. Yes, that's true. There's mm-hmm. a lot of critics, and there's a lot of bloggers and headliners who are forgetting a lot of film history
right.
when it comes to women in film and black men and women in film and superheroes, particularly.
But nothing like this.
But nothing to this scale. No matter how much you feel about Blade or anything else related to what I'm talking about, it was never to this scale.
Right.
And so that we need to give that kind of attention.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so to that point, to what you're saying, things have changed, and I think it's only going to get better. We're only going to see more minority-led films. Mm-hmm. We're going to see films with entire casts filled with just black people, or just women, or just Asians, or just Hispanic people, or whatever.
Right.
Or, you know, a mixture, a good, real diversity, not just tokenism.
Right.
And this, we're at the tip of something.
Absolutely.
And this movie in Wonder Woman represents that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why you have all these reviewers saying this is going to be something. This is something amazing. You've never seen anything like this.
Absolutely.
Not necessarily because of the filmmaking, but because of what it represents.
Absolutely. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I was entertained the entire time. Mm-hmm. I was never bored. I feel like every scene had a purpose. They didn't do a lot of filler like they usually do in Marvel films. And I think it was, like, funny in the right moments. But
not jokey.
No, like, because certain times it's like, I'm going to be funny just, you know, well, like, take Justice League when then they get cartoony.
Oh, God.
Where they're, like, doing one-liners just to do one-liners. No, everything.
We're Marvel now.
Right, no. You know, I think that it was its own movie
mm-hmm.
in the Marvel Universe.
It was.
And it didn't try to, like, fit into that mold, which was nice.
That was, I do have to give
it props.
I think
that's why I liked it so much.
Yeah, I have to give that props, because it felt like a Marvel film while not feeling like a Marvel film.
Yeah, it did.
And we need more of that.
It was very true to itself.
And it's like I mentioned before, that I gave it two knocks. The two biggest knocks were, like, one was the predictability that I mentioned before. The other one was the CGI.
Mm.
CGI in a lot of it was very lacking.
Okay.
Very lacking, but none so obvious as the ending fight scene.
Okay.
Between T'Challa and Killmonger.
Did you feel like it was too video gamey?
It was practically a video game. Okay. It was, I mean, like the fight on land, like above ground, was great. Like with the general and the tribes and the rhinos okay. and everything like that. That was great. That was well choreographed, well made. I was invested.
Mm-hmm.
I was so distracted by how poor the CGI was, because it was 99% CGI.
Okay.
And when something is 99% CGI, I'm really taken out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's bad 99% CGI, I'm just like, I look like I'm watching a PlayStation 3.
Okay.
And
I understand that.
And so it was hard for me to connect emotionally.
I guess I was able to forgive it, but you have a harder time with those things. Like, mm-hmm. that really distracts you. Where certain times when I'm like, I can't see it. I'm sorry. I can't see it, Tristan. But that I did see.
But like the fight between the two of them, like when they had no armor on and they were above waterfall, that was great. Oh, that was intense. Yeah. I was involved. I wanted something like that again.
Mm.
And I got Super Mario Brothers.
Okay. I get that. I get that. I don't know. The more I'm talking about it, the more I'm thinking this might be my favorite Marvel. For real.
It was on my list. I made the list.
Yeah?
I did. I put it up there. I don't have it in front of me.
Okay.
But it was, I put a lot above it.
Okay.
But I feel like I need to see it again.
Okay.
This might be a Dunkirk situation.
I still don't know if you're 100% true to yourself with that Dunkirk comment.
Yeah, it was, I kept trying to think, I wrote my review.
What's your favorite Marvel film?
My favorite Marvel film, I've forgotten. And so I kind
of had forgotten?
Well, no,
it was,
okay.
It was so amazing. You forgot it.
No, like, I think that the thing with me is that, like, on my Marvel, like, on my Letterboxd list, mm-hmm. I have all of Marvel films, not just the MCU. Like, I have X-Men films on there and everything.
Oh,
like that.
Okay.
And so I'm pulling out my list right now, and it's loading on your phone because it's not it's not saved like as a shortcut on mine like it is.
Oh.
Okay, so like my favorite MCU film is Winter Soldier. That's what I have on here.
Okay.
But my favorite Marvel film of all time is Logan.
Oh, I forgot about Logan.
But you know, like,
it's not
That's the thing.
Wait, that's not
It's a Marvel film, but it's not an MCU film.
Yeah. Okay.
So my favorite MCU film is Winter Soldier, then Civil War, then Thor, then Iron Man, then Spider-Man Homecoming, then Guardians of the Galaxy 2, then Avengers, then Black Panther. But I really feel I really need to take your advice and watch Thor again and see where it falls.
Yeah, because I think you really have that higher in your mind than it should be.
And also, now that I've talked about Black Panther with you,
I've changed your mind, haven't I?
I think I need to move it above Guardians of Galaxy 2. Because Guardians of the Galaxy 2 made me laugh my ass off. Like, I loved it. I thought it was a great movie. I thought it was nice. It was a nice popcorn movie. Black Panther actually made me feel something.
Yeah.
So I feel like that probably needs to go above Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I think I still like Spider-Man Homecoming more than Black Panther.
Really?
I got more enjoyment out of Homecoming.
Well, I think they're different, though. It's hard. Okay, so
it is hard.
Because, like, you're talking about Guardians of the Galaxy and Spider-Man. Well, there wasn't a lot going, you know, like, it was more fun. Like, it was just, whereas this had, you know, we're talking about, like, political implications here of Wakanda and, you know, we're
very Shakespearean things going
absolutely,
on.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, I don't know. I think that if I, like, okay, like, I guess the way that I judge it is, what would I like to watch again?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess for me, it would be Black Panther, Spider-Man Homecoming, and probably Guardians of the Galaxy 2 would be up there. But also, I don't know, like Civil War and stuff are really good too. I don't know though. I think Black Panther might be up there. I just have to give it some time and digest it.
Well, we might go see it again, or we might wait until, I have a feeling that this is going to come out in video. Probably sooner rather than later. It's going to stay in theaters for a long time.
Okay.
But I feel like they're going to release this soon to kind of ride that wave of popularity.
I hope so.
That's my guess.
Okay.
That's my guess.
Okay.
So, okay. So we talked about our rankings. Like, would you, out of 5 stars, what would you give it? What are you thinking?
Out of 5. I want to say like it's hard because you can think about Marvel versus like the rest of movies.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard for me. I'll give it a 4.
I give it a 4.
Okay. Well, that's weird.
You
because I liked it more than you.
You just like you rank harsher than I do.
I do.
You
so
do.
A 4 is really good for
a
me.
A girl four.
You almost said my real name.
I almost did. The girl four because it's a girl 4 sounds weird. Like a 4 from a girl means this. No. The
That's
girl's
offensive.
4 is means much more than a Tristan 4.
That's true. You just give out those stars
willy-nilly. I just give it away. I try to think of a metaphor that wouldn't be offensive.
You're not going to win there.
I didn't achieve that, so I just didn't say anything. It's
going to be dirty or offensive. So just...
Or hopefully both.
Knowing but, you, it would be.
All right, we're coming up in an hour, and I think that's good. I think this was a fun show to do. This was like this. I love talking about movies we enjoy because there's even though it's interesting to trash on a movie, like it can be a lot of fun to trash on a film. It can be.
Yeah, it's more fun to talk about the positives of a film.
It really is. It's
because you want every film to be good.
Yeah, that's the thing. If I go see a movie,
yeah,
even if I think it's going to be trash, like I want to be surprised. I want to be pleasantly surprised. I want every movie to be good.
Absolutely.
Regardless if it's DC, Marvel, or I never 50 Shades Freed.
Oh
or...
my gosh. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. Yes, but I loved it. You thought it was good, mm-hmm. but we probably both need to see it again. I need to see it again because I need to figure out my ranking of the MCU. You need to figure out some other things. Personal things of why it was better than you actually think. And watch Thor again because it's not as good as you think.
All right. You have to watch it with me then.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, okay. Well, no, when Thor 3 comes out, uh-huh. we'll get it.
Okay.
And then we'll do a double bill.
Okay.
We'll watch Thor 1. Skip Thor 2.
I was going to say, I'm not doing Thor 2.
No one's going to do Thor 2 again. And then we'll watch Thor 3. All right. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for listening and subscribing. Please tell your friends.
Yeah.
If you could help us out in any way, we would love for you to give us an iTunes review. But more than anything, tell your friends, tell your family. Just take out their phone. Don't even ask them. Take out their phone and subscribe them. And they'll thank you for it later on.
I love you.
I know.